But Lord, we thank you for being in our midst once again. And Lord, we thank you for the word that you prepared. Bless us to Mary as she go forth. Bless every hearer. Bless us all in every way we need you in our lives. Help us to do all that's in your heart. And in all the things that concern us, help us to deal with those too. But help us to, by all means, do all that's in your heart, that we may be, that we may represent you in every way, shedding light to a world that needs it. Help us to answer their questions and concerns. In Jesus' mighty name, work through us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Apostle. Praise God. We've been talking about the cross. I want to ask those that can silence the phone, silence. But we've been talking about the cross. I'm going to do a quick review, and then we're going to get into what we're talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about the resurrection. Last week we went to a funeral. We went to the burial, and we talked about that. But this week, we're going to talk about the resurrection, because that's so important. But doing a quick review, as before I go into the review, let me tell you, we have one more Sunday before this study will be over for the summer. And then we'll start it back up in fall. But that's next Sunday. So please keep that in mind. But as we review, we saw that Paul led us on the inside of the crucifixion. Whereas when we look through the four Gospels, they kept us on the outside of what was happening and the crucifixion. And but God don't want the church to stay outside. He wants you to come on in. And that's what Paul is doing. He's inviting us to come in and see. Because if you stay outside, you're not going to see the power of the cross. But when, let me tell you, Paul really got a revelation of the cross, because he knew everything is buried through the cross. You can say, oh, well, I don't know if I want to, you know, cross has, you know, but it's been so, I just don't want to learn about the cross. You know, you can say that, and you can say many things, but if you learn what happened at the cross, and get a revelation of it, because I keep repeating, everything is buried through the cross, honey, you're going to live a resurrection life like Paul. Paul had such a revelation of the cross. He said, I was crucified on that cross. And I know you probably said, no, Paul, you wasn't crucified on the cross. You weren't even thinking about Jesus when he died in that way. You saw him as the other leaders saw him as a deceiver and all that. But Paul, when he got that revelation of that cross, he made his whole, it made his whole living victorious. But we've got to get that revelation of the cross. And I hope in some way in my teaching that I have helped you to get on the inside of what, because see, that what was happening on the outside was hatred of the Roman soldiers. Okay, let me bring this into you. There was two trials going on at the crucifixion. It was one where Jesus himself was on trial. They said the Roman soldiers, Pilate, all the big leaders said that he was king of the Jews. He was putting himself up as king of the Jews and saying he was the king. And they brought a lot of different allegations against him that he could have a trial and he was going to die as a criminal. And we saw that. We saw that they brought all these accusations and he was found guilty on their part. Well, it was another trial going on in the inside of him. And that trial was about me and you and the whole world. Paul said God was on the inside reconciling man back to God. And I thank God that Paul went on the inside because he brought a lot of insight to us, a fresh revelation. And sometimes the church world don't understand the power of the cross. The devil said he didn't understand it either. He said, if I had known, I wouldn't have crucified him. But I want to show you some things at the cross. Some things at the cross that made the cross so powerful that we overlook. And I'm going to take you to the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, and the 51st verse. I'm going to read some of this for you. So just open up your spiritual ears and receive today. The 51st verse, the 28th chapter, and the 51st verse read, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, the reason I said that Jesus forgave us at, that God forgave us at the cross, it's because this veil always kept man. Now, this is the veil in the temple on earth, but it kept man from fellowship with God. The priest could go back there once a year, and he had to go back there with a sin off, you know, for himself. Because that's where the presence of God behind, dwelt, behind this temple, behind the veil. But God ripped it from the top to the bottom. That means that it was God initiated. God is saying, I'm satisfied. I can bring man back into fellowship with me now. And let me read the 50th verse. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. When Jesus died and gave up the ghost, God had got everything that satisfied him that he could forgive man for his sins. He forgave us at the cross. Jesus didn't have to take our sins to the grave, and all that was forgiven at the cross. And remember, I'm showing you the power. It was that the cross was so powerful till an earthquake came when he died, and the veil was rent. And you said, well, Sister Mary, tell me a little bit more about that. What did that really mean? Well, Paul wrote, I'm going to tell you, all the way through the epistles that Paul wrote, he wrote about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the ascension. And this is what he said happened in Colossians 2 and 14. I'm going to read it for you. He says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What did he do with it? He nailed it to the cross. All those things that were against us, the sin, all of that, he nailed it to the cross. He didn't have to take it to the grave. Thank God. But he said, God nailed it to the cross. Now, we know in this trial, they nailed something to Jesus' cross. Pilate had something nailed to the cross. And this is what they were trying Jesus on. That he said he was the king of the Jews. Well, the king of the Jews, not that he said, because someone wanted him to change it and said, Pilate said he said he was the king. Pilate said, I done wrote what I'm going to write. And he wrote it in many different languages. He said, this is Jesus, the king of the Jews. That's what he was on trial for. And they found him guilty of that. But God took that opportunity to put our sins on him inside. While they were working outside, remember, God is working on the inside, dealing with our sins and things and putting it on Jesus. When Jesus died and the blood was shed out of the side that John said it came out of, he said, I saw eternal life coming out of his side, the blood and the water, the three that bear witness. You know, it says, see, Paul is letting us know this is a legal document. He's letting us know what took place at the cross was a legal document to cause sin, sickness, and everything else that had us illegal. It was, Paul was saying, it was nailed to the cross. It was paid in full. So it's illegal now. Yeah, the enemy still try to put things on us. He still try to put sickness on us. Still try to show us all our sins and this and that. But it's illegal. The cross made everything illegal. And never forget that. And you know, when that veil in the temple was rent, God was telling, hey, y'all come on in now. Hey, we got our fellowship back. Not only did we get our fellowship back, we got our glory back. We lost the glory. We fell from glory. The word said, all have sins. Talking about your past. And we came short of the glory of God. But we got the glory back, and we got the Father telling them, hey, y'all can come on in now. Legally, everything was done at the cross. It was complete. And Jesus said, hey, it's finished. He was talking from a legal standpoint of view. That everything was finished. But for us to live this life out, for us to live, even though we got the legal document that it was finished, he still had to do some things. He went down in the grave. And I'm going to read the third verse, and it says, it came out of the grave. This all happened at the crucifixion now. It came out of the grave after... the 52nd. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Not before his resurrection. Now, we're going to talk about that during the resurrection. Because, see, Jesus was the first fruit of resurrection. They couldn't get up until Jesus resurrected. Until he was risen. They were waiting on him, and David prophesied many, many years ago that he would not leave my soul in hell. So they died in faith. They hadn't received the promise. They didn't see the promise, but they died. Even Joseph told him, "Don't you leave my bones in Egypt." It's going to be a resurrection. Don't you leave my bones in Egypt. And so,
amen.
But they couldn't be resurrected, even though the earthquake, see, that was the power in death. cross we see. We see the victory at the cross when he died. Death had to turn them, the grave loose, because it was so powerful. What took place was so powerful. But Jesus being the first resurrected from the dead. So we see the power of the cross and the legal part of the cross. But the resurrection is what we're going to talk about. We can't live this life out without the resurrection. Although everything was legal, the Father was happy, he was satisfied, he welcomed us in. Legally, everything was done, but still, Jesus had some things to do. But everything he did it in victory, because he got the victory at the cross. And that's one thing the enemy don't want you to understand, is the cross. That, hey, you got your victory there at the cross. It was paid for. Okay, we see the resurrection. Now is where we want to go. We looked at him being buried, going down in the grave. But the resurrection is so important because, okay, let's read Romans 8 and 11. And if I don't get through all through the resurrection that I want to get through today, know that it's another Sunday. Romans 8 and 11, I'm going to read that for you. It says, but the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, he dwells in you.
Amen.
He raised up Christ from the dead. Shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now we get the same, like Paul identified himself. Now if you don't identify yourself with it, you can't receive it. Paul identified himself with the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. And so that is what Paul is trying to get the people to do, to identify themselves with that. Because we get the same life that Jesus gets.
Amen.
We get no different life. And Paul is trying to tell you that. And I'm going to read the book out of the book of Ephesians, where Paul is praying for the people of Ephesus, and then he's praying, you know, even for us today, that we can see this, so we can live that same kind of life that Jesus, when the resurrected life, we get that same kind of life that Jesus get. We don't get no different life. That's the reason the resurrection is so important to us, is that we can see that we get that same life that Jesus got when he was resurrected. So Paul here in the 17th, in the first chapter, this is his prayer that he's praying. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrote in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, if you don't identify with the resurrection, then you can't get his life. The resurrection is so important for many other things that we may not even get a chance to talk about.
Amen.
Even in Romans, when it says that, you know, most of the time when you hear people leading people to Christ, it says you must believe that God resurrected him from the dead, then you're going to be saved.
Yeah.
But here Paul is trying to say, okay, this is the kind of life Jesus got when he was resurrected from the dead. Let me tell you. Which he rode in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place. This is the kind of life he got. Above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that it's which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He was saying, now, you just don't get this by reading it, by just wanting it, the desire. He said it has to be revealed, going back up to the 17th chapter. He said it has to be revealed in you. It has to be become a revelation of the resurrection. Because you may be saying, well, Sister Mary, I'm not living that kind of life. I don't see all things under my feet. I can say it, but I'm not living that kind of life. Well, Paul lived that kind of life because he got a revelation of it. He got supernatural eyesight of it. Even the devil knew Paul lived that kind of life. He told them, Paul I know, and Jesus I know. Because Paul always lived in Christ. He always said, hey, I'm in Christ. So he lived that resurrection life. And Romans 8 and 11 said, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you to give you that kind of life. We get the same kind of life that Jesus got. The same kind of life. He said it'll also quicken your mortal bodies, meaning that you'll get that same kind of life. He said the Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal body to give you. But if you don't identify it, if you don't have a revelation of that, you can have knowledge of it and not live in that realm of life. And that's what Paul is praying here. For the people that they can see the resurrected life that God provided for him, for them. That life that he gave when he resurrected Jesus from the dead. It says those people did resurrect when Jesus got up. So all of them got up and they walked around in the cities and said Jesus just led a triumphant march of all of them, that they were seen by many people. That those graves that were open that we were talking about in Matthew 28 at the cross. And they got up, and when Jesus got up, they couldn't get up until Jesus got up. But they got up, and they resurrected. And I heard a pastor preach, and he said, yeah, they got up, but I don't know what happened to them after the end. I don't know if they went back in the grave or what happened to them. But Paul tells us exactly what happened to those group. They didn't get back in the grave. Paul said in the 11th chapter of Hebrew that they became the cloud of witnesses. And he began to tell of how, he began to testify of all of them. He said, they became the cloud of witnesses. And said, Jesus led captivity captive. And they went to heaven. Jesus took them and said they became the cloud of witnesses. And he says, now since we do have those cloud of witnesses, he said, let us run. Let us, he said, but the way we are to run is laying aside every sin and weight and everything that so easily beset us, and we keep our focus on Jesus. See, I want to press in identification with Christ. If we don't identify with him, if we don't, that's one thing the enemy don't want us to do. He don't want us to enter in. And when you identify with Christ, you no longer identify with failure. You no longer have to identify with sickness and sin. I'm not talking about an emotional identification, but I'm talking about spiritually.
Yeah.
Where the part you get by revelation knowledge, yeah, where it's really revealed to you that you can live it.
Yeah.
That you can live this victorious life. And God's going to raise up a people that's going to be so identified with him that they can see that, hey, I got the same life Jesus got. You get the same. Because you're his body. And you is his, but you got to be in Christ. You got to identify. And it says the Spirit wants to give us that revelation of it. He wants to work with us and give us that revelation of it. He wants our eyes to be enlightened. He wants us to see and know the hope of his calling, and not be attached to these things in the world. You know, Paul tells us again in the Word of God, again in Colossians, he said, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things above. I'm going to read it to you. Just give me one more minute, because I want to read it after Amplified Translation. And let me also read about how he knelt, how God knelt. I want to read it out the Amplified before I go and read that.